Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. How you doing this morning, Pete? I was going to say morning. It is the morning, isn't
morning,
it?
Morning, afternoon, evening. It is the morning for me. It's the evening for you. Yes, I'm Pete Donaldson, still sweating my bits off. Gutted though, Chris, gutted. I had flights to come to Japan in sort of late September, and British Airways have informed me that they have been cancelled, so I need to find another place to rest my weary head. We knew it was coming, we did. I think it's nice that they made that decision for me rather than me waiting until a week before and then going, yeah, can't get in, not going to bother.
Yeah, I had to cancel a flight for my friend that was coming in October. There's a chance, there's a slight chance they might open it up by October, but we just didn't want to wait around. Mm. And even then, if he did come over, it just doesn't feel like the time to come over to Japan for the first time and enjoy yourself. So it's a shame. But I'm
closed.
Sure.
Everything's closed.
Well, yeah. Everything's closed, and I'm sure, you know, we'll get you over here again soon to do something. I'm just glad we got you over here earlier on. We did the Sapporo Snow Festival and everything else. Like,
exactly,
that feels
yeah.
like a lifetime ago now, doesn't it? It's crazy.
It really does. I think the idea of, like, getting off a flight and getting on a train, I mean, that was kind of like as the, obviously it started in the east and went west.
Yeah,
that was the start of the whole hullabaloo, so to speak. So yeah, it was starting to ramp up then, and people were starting to worry about it. I bought masks for the first time in my life to go around Japan, and so yeah, it was interesting to sort of see how it's all sort of panned out.
It was a miracle that you didn't get it in hindsight, because at the time you were in Japan and traveling between Japan and the UK, that's when it was just starting to kick off and it was revealed that there was a virus, and that's kind of when it almost peaked in many respects. Before the figures started coming out. So it's a miracle you were unscathed by the coronavirus, I think.
Yeah. It's a clean situation
boy.
Where...
Wash your hands a lot.
Clean boy. I tell you what, a lot of the pubs and bars that kind of you usually attend in London and beyond, people are going to have to start putting like soap in the soap dispensers and also hot water in the bathrooms. A lot of bathrooms in England, even in some quite nice restaurants, you'll go in and there'll just be cold water and no soap and no way of drying your hands. And it's just kind of like, well, look, if you're going to have like a one in one out system and all that bollocks, like you're going to have to kind of up your game when it comes to actually supplying the, you know, hot water for people to wash their hands. So we can all order off an app. We all like getting involved in the old app system, but you know, you go in the toilet and there's no bloody soap, honestly. Very upsetting.
I mean, it's often the same in Japan in public toilets. They don't have any means to dry your hands at all. There's no paper towels or anything. I don't know why that is, but it means you often walk out of a toilet in Japan with just your hands dripping everywhere. And it's kind of unpleasant and annoying. Although they have definitely stepped up their game. There's sprays in every shop and restaurant, and also a lot of shops and restaurants at the moment, they have a scanner where they scan your temperature before they let you in, or it's just sort of automated thing that shows you your temperature.
God, I would not good, defeat that system right now. It's that hot. Wow.
Exactly. I've always wondered how efficient it is. I haven't done a lot this week. I did watch my good friend Norm, who's got a YouTube channel, Tokyo Lens, made a video on a subject that I've been interested in for a long time. I think we may have discussed it maybe a year or two ago. There's a town in Shikoku, very isolated town in Shikoku, called Nagoro. And like a lot of rural towns across the country, the population is shrinking rapidly. To date, I think it's about 35 people that live there now, down from a population of about 300 in the last 10 or 20 years. And what they did to get around this shrinking population is one of the town's residents, an artist called Ayano Tsukimi, he returned to the village after an 11-year absence to discover that many of her old neighbours and friends had either left or passed away, decided to replace them with life-size, quite unnerving, but very impressive dolls or scarecrows. And the whole town is just covered in scarecrows, sitting at the side of the road, working and ploughing the fields. There's an entire school filled with like 200 of these scarecrow students and teachers doing some sort of tug of war. It is so surreal. And it is so magical. Have you had a chance to watch it at all? Have you seen this?
I have. I have watched that. It is absolutely dreadful. The whole thing is absolutely dreadful. Endlessly, instead of the clothes going to a charity shop, they've just put clothes on these kind of beasts that they've made themselves. It's just horrible.
This lady, Ayano Tsukimi, spent 10 years, and there's 350 of the dolls now dotted around the town. And she places each doll in a place that she feels that's important to the memory of that person who's been lost or who's moved away. But there's something kind of magical and bizarre about it, and I'd love to go there and see it for myself. Credit where it's due to Norm. They got a chance. He got a chance to interview the artist who'd produced them. But she's quite old, and he'd just come from Tokyo, I think. So he was reluctant to interview her under the guise of bringing coronavirus to the town. Obviously, he didn't have it, but he was worried, and he took extra steps because he didn't want to finish off the remaining 35 inhabitants with the damn virus. So he didn't get to meet her face to face, but he did interview her over the phone. But the video is called "This Japanese Town Replaced Humans with Scarecrows." And it came out last week. But check it out. It's an incredible video. And I'd love to go there for myself and kind of wander around it. Would you like to join me next time you're over? Do you want to go with me?
No, because I'd never sleep again, Chris. And I find it hard enough to sleep under jet lag situations anyway.
It is a little bit Stephen King vibes going on, I must admit. But fair play. It's interesting seeing how these Japanese villages have tried to tackle the problem of just the population dropping very quickly and very fast. Like some villages allow you to just buy a house there for free. I've seen like documentaries about people just giving houses away for free if people choose to live there. And I think we talked about a few months ago how the Tokyo Metropolitan Government was looking at paying people to leave Tokyo and live in certain areas of the countryside, giving like huge subsidies to try and prop up the countryside. But really, it's an unstoppable problem. Sadly, nothing they can do unless you've got a radical idea, Pete. What can they do?
No, none of my ideas are radical.
They're just awful.
They're just awful ideas.
What is interesting, though, is I saw the statistics this week that Tokyo's actually welcomed more new foreign residents this year than Japanese ones. In the last year, 68,000 foreigners moved to Tokyo, right, compared to 67,000 Japanese citizens domestically, which is a pretty big deal. I can't believe that for the first time on record, foreigners moving to Tokyo have outweighed the number of Japanese residents. That's crazy. And that's probably a big reason why the countryside is still going empty, because you find most people just move to Tokyo or Kanagawa or Saitama to the area, the Tokyo metropolitan area. Guess that's part of the problem, isn't it? Crazy.
A little bit, yeah. It's kind of sad to sort of see sort of slightly more rural towns die. But I'm from a similar sort of situation. You know, there's no work in my hometown of Hartlepool. I don't think they're going to be stuffing dolls and scarecrows and putting them around the town. But yeah, there'd probably be less crime if there was.
Probably. I mean, I can understand the appeal of Tokyo. I think the problem for me is when I first moved here, I got placed in the countryside, in that beautiful region of Yamagata that you've seen for yourself. You've seen how beautiful it is. And after that, moving to a city just seems unthinkable, right? When you've woken up in the morning and you've got rice fields and mountains and sea on your doorstep, to then just move to Tokyo, which is literally just a concrete jungle, the likes of which the world has never seen. It's just unthinkable. Mm. I suspect you are the sort of person that would move to Tokyo, though, over the countryside, right?
Yeah, I think so. And then I'd slowly go insane and become one of those weird foreigners that nobody really says or tells off for being weird. Just upset everyone.
Just upset everyone?
Just upset everyone, yeah.
I mean, are you referencing someone there, Pete, that I don't know about?
No, not you. No, just I was saying that a lot of expats slowly go insane, and because they're seen as being kind of anomalies or kind of like, you know, a bit of novelty, nobody really calls them out for being a bit weird because people are going slowly more and more insane.
Fair enough. There is a very good reason to move to Tokyo, or rather to Yokohama, which is about half an hour south of Tokyo. And by all accounts, people prefer Yokohama to Tokyo. Yokohama's recently unveiled its gigantic Gundam statue, Gundam robot, which is 59 feet tall, weighs 25 metric tons, 55,000 pounds. It recently, just last week, got blessed by, I think, Shinto priests blessed the head of the gigantic Gundam statue before it was put up on a crane and placed above the top of the robot. What do you think of this, Pete? Are you excited by the prospect of a Gundam robot?
Well, weirdly, now where the hell was I? Was it Rotterdam? Might have been Rotterdam. There's a skate park and there's a Gundam sort of not life size, but like maybe twice the size, maybe three times the size of a normal human kind of robot. Right. And there doesn't seem to be any reason why it's there, apart from the fact that I think the local residents voted it in as the thing that they wanted in front of this skate park. It's this big fucking Gundam. I've been to the Gundam restaurant in Akihabara, very underwhelmed by the food.
What is it? What goes on there?
They just basically, it's Gundam related in that I think you can buy toys. They sort of mash the rice together in like a formation, so it looks like a Gundam head. The toilet, there's a button you can press in the toilet to make all of the lights go off and make like a Gundam powering up noise. It's very, very underwhelming.
Tacky, is it?
very tacky.
I mean, The most famous Gundam statue is, of course, the one in Odaiba. And the tallest one, which is only unveiled recently in Odaiba as well, it got updated, is 19.7 metres. So if you want to see the tallest one, it is in Odaiba. But the one in Yokohama, the RX-78, which I don't know what that is, because Gundam was very much before my time. Though I kind of love the statues, I think they're pretty cool. But the one in Yokohama actually moves. The arms and the legs can move around. Which maybe it's secretly a weapon just left there in Yokohama Bay for when some sort of war breaks out and it can come alive, this huge bipedal weapon, and dominate the battlefield in my imagination.
Well, I hope it runs on solar energy because, bit of a waste of time and a bit of a waste of energy, isn't it? Making a little Gundam walk around.
But if you want to see it, it is the Gundam Factory Yokohama Complex, and the one in Odaiba equally as impressive. But go and check it out. I'm going to go and see it the next time I'm in Yokohama when I'm making one of my runs to Chinatown. Bloody love Chinatown. Cool. Yokohama. Have you been?
I actually, you recommended it last time, and I had a succulent Chinese meal. It was delicious. Very beautiful.
Succulent Chinese meal. Yeah, it's really cool. I love Chinatown. It's a really, if you want to do some photography at nighttime in Tokyo, outside of the normal kind of places like Shibuya and Shinjuku, Chinatown, Yokohama, amazing. Have some nice dinner, take some photos, go and ride the Gundam statue. Be a lot of fun. Mm.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Jackmate's Happy Hour is back for a brand new season. It's the podcast where we talk to some of the most exciting people in the world, from Ricky Gervais.
In some ways, fame makes you a better person. You know, it's like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God's watching me. But I know someone with
everyone else is.
To undercover police officers.
Can you see the fading scar there, gentlemen?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's where I was stabbed in the neck by a drug dealer once.
Or we just talk about whatever's making us laugh right now.
When you think back to school kid banter, like, it's well funny because of how immature it is. We had this teacher called Mr. McGibbon, and he had this big cushion that he was teaching us how to rugby tackle on. He just ran up to it, rugby tackled it, but landed on top of it, and one of the kids shouted, "It's not your wife, sir."
That is funny.
Listen to Jackmate's Happy Hour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Jackmate's Happy Hour is a Stakhanov production.
And with that, we turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Dawson?
We've got a message from Alan from Melbourne, Australia. We've had quite a few emails from Melbourne, Australia recently.
Everyone,
my last trip to Japan was in, yeah.
Overtaken Sweden. Now it's Melbourne.
Yes, yes.
All of our listeners are in Melbourne now.
My last trip to Japan was in March 2020, luckily before the COVID pandemic vanquished any chance of travel for the foreseeable future. My friends and I were frequent visitors to the ever so reliable convenience stores for our daily breakfast needs. God bless those amazing onigiris from Lawson. Yum. This brings me to my question. What canned or bottled coffee drink would you recommend? I personally am more of a black coffee person, but when it comes to Japanese canned coffee, I prefer milk coffee with mild sugar by Tully's. Cheers and keep up the good work, guys. Thanks, Alan in Melbourne in Australia. A lot of sugar in those coffee drinks, isn't there? That's a problem I have. Even on the blackest of the coffee choices, it's always very, very sugary.
It is. The best one for me is the Tully's just black coffee. I swear by that. I live and die by that. Either that or the Black Boss coffee. They're both winners. Mm. But if you really need to be woken up, not just by caffeine, but by sugar, then there's a lot of, most of them just are ladled, stuff full of sugar. And my good friend Dan, who I used to teach with every morning on the way to school, we'd drive into school, he would have like two cigarettes and like a very sugary Boss coffee. And that powered him through for the next 3 or 4 hours, and he gave it his all. So it does work. It works. And you've tasted it. Like, how would you describe the flavour of like a sugary Boss coffee?
It's more sugar than
coffee.
It's like Tommy Lee Jones's face is very kind of like wrinkled and crinkly. It doesn't taste of that. It tastes of a smooth balloon. I'm starting to talk like Natsuki. It doesn't make any sense. None of this makes sense. It's too hot.
It doesn't. I like that. Coffee that tastes like Tommy Lee Jones's face. Wonderful. But Tully's black coffee, get that, Alan. Mm-hmm. Or just convenience store coffee. It's really good and it's fresh. We've got one from Andras, or Andrew, if that's easier to say, as he writes in brackets. Mm. Hi, Chris and Pete. Andras from Hungary here. I'm currently studying Oriental Languages and Cultures, specialising in Japanese at the University ELTE. I'm a long-time listener of the podcast and a faithful follower of the Abroad in Japan channel. Although I say faithful, I also follow the Only in Japan channel. But due to recent events, I was thinking of unsubscribing. The reason is that about 1 month ago, they uploaded a video saying they're now looking for a new host, promising millions of subscribers and that the new host will become a famous YouTuber instantly. I love the work of John Daub and would be a bit sad watching him leave. What are your thoughts on the matter? Keep up the good work and don't catch this damn virus. Andras from Hungary. Have you seen this, Pete? Have you seen what happened with?
I'm familiar with his channel. They work him very hard, so I understand why he's probably leaving. To be quite frank, I wonder how kind of channel is set up.
Well, Only in Japan was presented by John Daub. Really nice guy, American dude who's lived in Japan for, I think, 20-plus years. I've met him a few times and we chat occasionally. He's a really nice guy and he's very passionate about Japan. And his videos have always been very good, made to a very high production quality. And the odds are, if you're interested in Japan, you will have seen his channel at some point. And in fact, it inspired me many years ago when I was just a humble vlogger making videos in a room, swearing and being bitter, pretty much like I do now. But before then, I hadn't really made any travel documentaries or anything out and about. And I saw Only in Japan and I saw the kind of quality of the videos and where YouTube in Japan was heading. And I kind of, it made me up my game. So I'm grateful to him for that and for Only in Japan. But it turns out John was presenting Only in Japan, which is kind of owned by a company called Wow Ryu Television or something. I don't know.
Right.
But they helped him out with the production side and they owned the channel, I think. So he built it up to 1.3 million subscribers, I want to say, certainly over a million. And it was doing really well. And then all of a sudden, abruptly, John leaves the channel, starts his own channel called John Daub Only in Japan, with the Only in Japan logo. And the original channel, Only in Japan, rebrands to Wow Ryu Only in Japan. And John says that they kind of split amicably. Like, he wanted to go in his own direction, I think, and probably just have control, because there's nothing worse than building an empire for someone else when you pull that time and hard work in, when, he could probably do it himself now.
There's
and he
no
is.
Need to, yeah.
But Wow Ryu kind of handled it very badly. And you've got to go and watch. I think the best way is for you to go and watch the video quickly while I describe it, Pete. Just go on like Only in Japan, Wow You. And they basically made a video where they said, we're looking for a new presenter. And they did it in a really kind of rude, crass manner. It's a really crappy video. The music's like this kind of awful, free Japanese sounding music. It's like, dum, 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 and it's like, and there's just text on the screen saying, you'll become new famous YouTuber. Please present our new channel. Please take over and you'll be famous. And just sort of saying, you know, come and front the channel. We're looking for a new presenter. You can instantly be famous and have a million subscribers. And it's very poorly handled in a very not tasteful manner. And I think,
if
I was John, I would be pissed. Well, yeah, anyone can apply. So I think you should present it. But the fact they handled it so badly is a testament to why I don't think it would be worth working with them, really. Pretty poorly handled.
Well, it's all his kind of thing, isn't it? It's his charisma and his kind of like, you know, that's why you watch a channel like that. That's why you watch the Chris Broad channel. Without Chris Broad, doesn't really make much sense. But obviously, I will be applying because of my success of my two videos on my iReview Planes now YouTube channel. So, watch this space. I may become your biggest. Your biggest adversary, Chris.
Biggest rival. They literally write in text, though. It's like, you'll become famous YouTuber, 1 million subscribe. And it's like really poorly done.
Everyone will
whoever,
hate you.
Whoever takes on the mantle. Like... Whoever becomes the new Only in Japan will be my number one rival. So bear that in mind. Best of luck to John, though, on his new channel. He's a great guy. So hopefully it goes well. Check him out and subscribe to John Daube Only in Japan. Actually, the next message is from somebody called John. And do you want to read that out or shall I? What are you feeling?
I can bash it out if you want. There's a nice little photograph with this one. My name's John. I've been binging the podcast ever since I returned from my trip to Japan last October. I can't help but jump to the defense of the denizens of Tokyo with their regards to less than outgoing reputations. I moved around a fair bit during my jaunt in Japan, beginning in Tokyo, and although I kept hearing that people in Tokyo might be less inclined to interact with foreigners, I had probably one of the best evenings of my trip in an izakaya. Ooh. The night after I arrived, I'd gotten back off the train and was looking for a local place to eat. I was severely jet-lagged, exhausted from a busy day wandering around the streets and shops, and I found a place that the locals seemed to review quite favourably. I found myself a very friendly chap, picture included, who took it upon himself to buy me a beef bowl and then some of his favourite nihonshu, which were both amazing. He introduced me to his girlfriend, and we spent a few hours drinking and chatting, despite some missing words here and there that I didn't know yet until they had to go home. I guess my view is that if anyone is going to go to Tokyo and thinks they might miss out on the famed, confident warmth of the south of Japan, they could be presently proven wrong. I was wondering if yourself or Pete have had any surprising experiences in places that you didn't expect. Many thanks for the podcast and the Abroad Japan series, which helped me to avoid being an ignorant foreigner. Best regards, John. Lovely old job.
Well read. Good effort.
Thanks, mate.
I mean, we do often say, don't we, that it's quite widely propagated that people in Tokyo are a bit rude or whatever, but I think it's more in comparison to South Japan. And there is no doubt people in Osaka or Hiroshima or Kagoshima tend to be more fun and welcoming and confident, less shy in general, right? You're more likely to be approached somewhere in Osaka, like Osaka, than you ever are in Tokyo. But that doesn't mean people in Tokyo are necessarily rude. So that's a lovely story that John walked into an izakaya and a nice young man and his girlfriend bought him some sake and some beef bowl. And there's a nice photo accompanying the message of a very happy looking John with a smile and the Japanese man giving a thumbs up with his girlfriend. I think maybe the reason they lavished all this dinner upon John is just he looks very happy and nice, doesn't he? I feel like buying John a drink. Do you get that vibe?
He's got a lovely beard. He's got a lovely little beard.
He's got a lovely beard. What have you, I mean, what surprising experiences have you had in Japan that you didn't expect with the locals, Pete?
I think pretty much every sort of new town, you sort of find yourself in a little sort of bar, and someone will sort of start chatting to you and stuff. I think I was in, where would I be? Kitakyushu, I think. I had a really nice experience with a bar full of locals. I think a friend and me were in Kobe. Found ourselves in what we didn't realise was it was a gay bar. And about halfway through, the men took it to pains to suggest that it was a gay bar. I was like, well, that's all right, mate. I think they were kind of worried that we might start getting really furious that we were in a gay bar. there's always something going on, quite frankly. Get yourself down Golden Guide, someone will start talking. Yeah, there's always a bloke running in with a guitar under his arm, playing a couple of songs for you. Music bars are really good because, like, obviously you'll sit down for a drink and then the barman and the manager will want to play you a song or two
and then there'll be no escape.
They just want an audience.
They do. I mean, it's not just bars and restaurants where you can meet people. Typically, that is the place where it's going to happen, let's face it. But when I was on journey across Japan, we met some really nice people in a grocery store in Okayama City. And it's on video. And the video is called I Tried Being Vegan in Japan for a Day. And I don't know. I don't remember what we were doing. I think because I was a vegan that day and one day only and never again, I went to like a grocery store to buy some fruit for my breakfast. And we went in and there was like three or four middle-aged to elderly women just sitting around having a nice morning. And then I burst in with a camera. I'm like, I want some fruit. Where's some fruit? And they're like, oh my God, who's this? But they're very nice. And they gave us some free persimmons, parsimmons, ooh. Persimmons. And parsimmons. That was nice. And delicious. We walked off with a whole bag of persimmons, no less, that saw me through the rest of the day. And I discovered that morning that persimmons plus coffee equals the perfect breakfast. Persimmons plus Tully's black coffee, the perfect breakfast, Pete. I love your name. Caffeine and sugar rush.
And I would say that. Delicious.
But there's nice people all around. And we're always on the hunt for stories sent in by you guys where you've met folks like that. So let us know. That'd be a good podcast. We did it last year, stories sent in by listeners. And I'd like to do it again. So if you do have a story where you've met a nice stranger on your travels around Japan, send it in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com along with other stories, questions you might have for us. Let us know. We'll be back next Wednesday to do it all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a good start to the week, and we'll be back to do it all over again in 3 or 4 days' time. But for now, have a good one. Have a coffee.
Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.